Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning. The show can be contagious.
Okay, hello, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I am your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. We've got a great show for you tonight, and I'm very, very excited about it. So I trust that you all are as well. Tonight's topic is one that's very near and dear to my heart, and I think that it's going to give those individuals that tune into this broadcast tonight, my objective here is to give you something to really think about, you know, in terms of if you're thinking about getting married for the first time, or if you're thinking about even getting married again or doing a second or third marriage. It's also very important for tonight's topic if you think about getting a divorce. It's very impactful if you're dealing with any of those situations. Once again, if you're thinking about getting a divorce, if you're thinking about getting married, if you're thinking about remarrying, or if you're thinking about doing a second, third, or fourth marriage, you will really want to tune into this broadcast tonight. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We've got, as I said, an exciting show for you tonight. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes, and we're going to go ahead at this time and just let you know that we do have a series of callers that we'll be calling in. And, of course, at any point in time, if you want to speak to the host, press 1, and we will be more than happy to bring you into the studio and get your thoughts on tonight's topic. I have a book out. It's called After Passion, Now What? It's available also in ebook. You can go to Amazon.com. The book is there. Or you can go to my website and get the book, get a copy of your the book at my website. Either way, it's out there. So I'm going to ask that you certainly tune in and get your copy. Let's go ahead and bring in the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, Miss Audrey Blake, that is. Calling all the way from the outskirts of Atlanta, Georgia. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening, and how's the weather out there?
Hi, Dr. Walker. The weather, it's a rainy day in hot Atlanta, but we're still enjoying the summer.
Okay, well, great. That's always good to hear. That's always a very good thing to hear. Go ahead and do your commercial. Tell the people about you. You're the author of Falling in Love with Me and Dying to Wake Up, and how they can get a copy of any of your books.
Yes, we actually, I actually have two books out at this time, as you just said, and The Revive Me will be coming out shortly. I look for it before the end of summer. It's with the publisher as we speak. The major thing that I'm doing right now, like yourself, I am a life coach. I'm a certified professional life coach, and I have platinum packages where I help people decrease their stress level. So those high achievers that are out there, you may be already making it big and making things happen, but I help you bring the balance and give you a stress reduction plan. For more information on my services, I'm available for speaking engagement, workshops, and just to talk if you want to give me a call. You can give me a call at 770-866-2162 or visit my website at www.fosteringleaders.org. And Dr. Walker, probably in the next coming weeks, I'll tell them about an upcoming free seminar that I'm offering nationwide.
All right. That sounds real good. We certainly look forward to that. All right. Well, thank you, Ms. Blake, and we're going to get ready for tonight's show. We're going to start out with our story of the evening, and we're going to ask you all to stand by towards the end of the last 5 or 6 minutes remaining in the show. Producers are asking to go back to doing some food for thought. So we will have, we'll close the show about 5 to 6 minutes remaining to give that food for thought. So we're going to have kind of listening audience around the world because it's backed by popular demand. Many of you all have been asking for it, so we will do a food for thought exclusively for our listeners, that is. All right, let's get ready to go right to tonight's broadcast. The story, and our characters in tonight's story, this is very important that you want to get these individuals. Our characters, there are two of them, and they are Harold and India. Harold and India. Now, as always, this show does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to you and your relationship. Harold and India, prior to getting married, after dating for only 4 years, Harold and India never thought they would face challenges of a second marriage when it came to issues of playing the role of grandparents. The situation for India is she wants to spend as much quality time as possible with her grandchildren from the kids of her ex-husband, who is the biologic father and grandfather. Harold, on the other hand, does not feel the same way in terms of doing the grandparenting thing in a similar fashion as that of India. Now, this does bring about a challenge for this couple. Now, here are a few other challenges this couple face that they never thought could happen in a second marriage that obviously has stepchildren, step-grandchildren, other relatives, and friends from their past relationships. Now, these are but a few of them. One, there are situations and circumstances where occasionally family and friends get the new partner mixed up by calling the ex-partner's name when making reference to the current relationship. And number two, some siblings that may have preferred the ex-partner over the current partner, that's the situation. Number three, children from the biological family who are not accepting of the current partnership. And number four, there are nieces, nephews, cousins, of course, grandchildren, and others who are not accepting of the new partner because they are still confused about the ex-partner, which no one really explained to them how these things work. And number five, the confusion of the current partners, as in the case of Harold and India, when they lay in bed at night or throughout the day with thoughts where they may have gone wrong, wondering where they may have gone wrong and not realizing the aftermath or impact on the original biological family. Number six, there are issues of, had I known then what I know now, would it have been worth it to stay in that relationship of the past? Number seven, there are also times when get-togethers are quite uncomfortable for the current partners, as there are moments when the exes are in the picture, say graduations, marriages, baby blessings, promotional activities and events for the biological children, and the list goes on. Now, because of the ongoing challenges, Harold and India are considering ending their 4-year marriage. They're both in their early 50s. Could it have been possible? The question is, could it have been possible to see this coming about the grandparenting thing as well as other things? Don't go away. This brings us to our topic tonight, and it's a very good one. The impact on divorce. Or the impact of divorce on the original biological family. Please stay tuned. Ms. Blake, let me start with you. Do you see this as a challenge, or could it possibly be a challenge?
Do I see it as a challenge, Dr. Walker?
Yes.
Definitely. It's a very big challenge and something they probably didn't really think through or anticipate, but it definitely is a challenge, but it's all challenges can be overcome as far as I'm concerned.
Right, right. Now, do you think that in the case with Harold and India, I mean, they're probably just like so many other people. I don't think that there's anyone, because there's no crystal ball, anyone out there that has, you know, a concept or thought that, you know what, if I divorce now, having children, even though they grow up and they begin to have their children, you know, you never think that far ahead that there's going to be an impact or a possible impact on those grandchildren. You know that there's an effect on the children, but you never even think about the effect of the grandchildren, where one partner may want to, or one of the ex may want to spend time, and the current partner just doesn't see that same thing. So that I see it as it can present a challenge, because those are probably not even things that people think about talking about. Have you ever known anyone to actually talk about those things, Ms. Blake, yourself?
No, they tend not to, because they're dealing with the current situation, and that's something that's a new phrase, my current situation. And so they're looking at the current situation. And most of the time when people make those decisions to split up, they're doing it based on the current. They're not really looking at future.
Right, absolutely. And I think that alone presents a problem. Now, in the case with Harold in India, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. Let me ask you, what advice, if any, would you give a couple like this that there's any, I mean, here, when you get to be in your 50s, I would think, I'm holding on to 25, so when you would get into your 50s, yes, when you would get into your 50s, I would think that you know what you're doing by then. I mean, how much longer is life promised to you? I mean, nobody has that magic wand of knowing. But wouldn't you think that they would know what they're doing by that time?
Well, yeah, they should. They definitely should. But, and again, it's a challenge, but it can be overcome if they choose to, or they can learn to live with it. And I have different views. I am kind of en route today, so I won't be able to comment as much as I'd like to throughout the show, but I am listening.
Okay.
But while I have a chance to talk, I just want to say that you don't anticipate all the what-ifs. And so it just depends, because I encourage people to work out their marriage or their relationships when possible. But if it is best to get out of it because it's unhealthy, then you have to kind of work out the consequences that come along with that. And it'll be interesting to see what our callers have to say about the various discussions tonight.
All right. Sounds real good. We will try and check in with you from time to time wherever we can get you. And thank you for sharing that with us. We're going to try to go to the phone lines momentarily and see if we can bring in some callers that see what their points of view are. We're going to go to 954-226. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us. Rose, can you give us some insight on that? I mean, Harold in India, a couple that didn't, in their 50s, I mean, that's, seems like a ridiculous age to be thinking about divorcing just because one partner just can't seem to, you know, meet the challenge of understanding the dynamics of the biological family in the past.
It's kind of sad that they're going to divorce for that reason. I think that could be worked out. I do understand India as a grandmom. You know, grandparents just love the grandchildren around. I mean, that's kind of a lot of joy for the grandmother. I'm just kind of taken aback that Harold is having such a difficult time understanding that India needs that family connection. And I think maybe, you know, if he gives it a try, then maybe he will understand. I think that's a kind of silly reason to consider a divorce for. And even if he doesn't want to be totally involved, then let her be involved with her grandchildren. He can't really separate her from her grandchildren. That would be really horrible. Let her be involved. You know, it's not like they live there. So once in a while when she wants to go around her grandchildren or want her grandchildren to come and, you know, see her, spend some time with her. I don't see why he can't understand that and try to accommodate her there instead of thinking of ending a marriage, unless he has other reasons why he wants to end the marriage and is just using that as a cop-out.
I think that that's an interesting perspective, Rose, and we do appreciate that. And I think that brings a great deal of validity to it. I agree with you in your opening statement that that shouldn't be a reason for Harold and India to divorce. It may be some other underlying things. I think that if they could really sit down and maybe get a neutral party involved, then to point out some things and they can both come up with something that's amicable, I think I agree with you. I think that it could work, and that should not be a reason. And I certainly agree with you that he should not try to infringe on her having the communications with her grandkids, even though it may be that, I mean, you know, they can sit down and talk with some stuff, and it doesn't mean that they have to keep them all the time. I mean, it can be worked out, I'm pretty sure. You know, a lot of times, but tonight we're actually talking about the impact of divorce on the original biological family. Let me just ask you this question, Rose. Do you think, in your humble opinion, or in your honest opinion, I should say, do you think that if families thought about that, particularly as they get older, do you think that that's a reason to stay together with that biological parent just for the sake of the children and the grandchildren? And if so, that negates what we've said on this show. You know, so many varying opinions have said children are not a reason to stay together. So if children are not a reason to stay together, why would grandchildren be a reason to stay together? So my question to you is, do you think that that, if people had that foresight, do you think that they would have, the divorce rate would be as high as it is now?
Oh, that's a difficult question. But, you know, when you're young, you don't actually think much about the future as to the impact of a divorce. But after you get older, you realize that some things could have been worked out instead of running to the divorce court. And when it comes to the family dynamics, especially the grandchildren, I would say, I hate to say it should be a reason to stay, but it maybe it's worth staying, you know, because now you have total access to the grandkids. And, you know, I think I've often heard a phrase that said, if, I'm not sure exactly how it goes, but it's that if you knew how great it was, how great grandkids were, you would have had them before you had the actual kids, you know? And I think grandchildren, they're just a joy to be around. And so grandparents, when you get to that stage of grandparenting, and you realize how beautiful it is to have your grandchildren around, and if you're married to someone who is not the biological grandparent, and that person wants to keep you from your grandchildren, it makes you want to kind of almost wish that you had stayed with the biological grandparent just so that you can be involved in the grandchildren's life, you know? So I think if anyone listening that are grandparents or even parents who are having a struggle in the marriage and is thinking of divorcing, you need to think down the road. Is your divorce, is the problem in the marriage that bad that you cannot go through counseling and work it out? Because you don't want to go down the line later on and realize that, hey, you know what? I wish I had stayed because now I can't get access to my grandchildren. You know, they're just some people who are not reasonable, you know, and they want to keep you away from your grandkids, and it just wouldn't be nice.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective, Rose. And, you know, I have, on part of what you said, I have some varying point of view, and that is I just want to say that I think that I like what you said of the phrase that you mentioned somewhere out there. People say, if you knew how well the grandchildren are, you might have had them instead of your children. And I'm sure there are people that would give their opinions on that. But my varying point of view would be, and maybe this is not a varying point of view, maybe you feel this way yourself, but I tend to think that children or grandchildren are not a reason to stay in a relationship. Somewhere along the way, because we don't think that, typically we don't think that far, I think it's better to terminate a relationship or a marriage when there is, I mean, you're just not getting along, because I think it provides even a healthier situation for the children and ultimately the grandchildren. Because I think that if even if it's with, assuming that it is the biological parent, even if they're together, the tension becomes so great in the home until the children are usually, you know, the children of age will usually take side with one of those parents. And if that parent, you know, and in most cases it's the mother, children will usually side with their mother. And in taking sides with their mother, when they begin to have children, and as those grandchildren grow up, they're not even, you know, if the father has been really abusive to the mother, and this is just my humble opinion, they're not even really trying to take their kids around that father. So it's really the component where, and then the father can be the exception in a case like that, but it's usually the grandchildren or the children will want to have an established relationship with the mother, with their children, especially if it's been an abusive situation or where they just don't get along. Now, it doesn't mean, and of course the father can be the exception, because you've got some fathers, and if the parents didn't stay together so long that the tension is so bad that the children grow up to almost dislike one of the parents, and usually in the case they're going to side with the mother where they didn't dislike the father, then I would find that that is different. But most children are bonded to their mom, and as adults, they're bonded to their mom. They just, the mother had them, and they just, children just gravitate to the mother. And if the father were not, you know, if he was abusive, if it was a harsh situation, in my humble opinion, then that's not a reason, certainly, to stay. Because, you know, where it's really, if you know that that man was abusive to the mother, you're not going to really have a good feeling with him. And he may try to establish something with his grandkids in the relationship, but I still think that it's bad. Now, that's just my point of view. We're going to go back to you, Rose, and get your thoughts on that.
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Walker. I was not referring to abusive cases or anything so extreme. I just merely said if the problem in the marriage is not that bad and it can be worked out, you know, through counseling, then by all means, I think it's worth it, you know. Sometimes people get divorced, you know, for any little thing nowadays. They just don't like you anymore. There's whatever. They just get divorced for just ridiculous reasons these days. So I'm saying if it's not something that is so bad that you really can work out, I think it's worth the effort, putting that effort in the marriage to work it out, other than just running to the divorce court, you know. But of course, abuse. I would never encourage anyone to stay in an abusive situation.
That and I didn't take it that you meant otherwise, Rose. I agree with you. That's the ideal situation. That original biological family could be together. I think that that's the. This is just my humble opinion, and I think we're saying the same thing. That would seem like the ideal situation. If they're getting along and not ready to run the divorce court for any little reason, I think that the children even look at that and say, wow, there's longevity with my parents, and which means there's a good likelihood that my own marriage may have some longevity to it. And the grandchildren grow up and say, you know what, it's just like almost genetic, you know, with age. You know, you say, well, my grandmother lived to be 97. You know, my great-grandmother lived to be about 94, and so forth and so on. even though that's not genetically inclined, but you might just look at longevity, I should say, use the word instead of genetic. You might look at that and say, well, you know what, this is, you know, my grandmother hung in there, my mother hung in there. You know, maybe I need to hang in there and think, rethink this thing before I just, you know, throw it away. You know, the grass always appears greener on the other side. But if you water your grass, I can assure you it's going to water it, cultivate, fertilize it. It's going to look pretty good. It's going to look pretty good. So those might be some things that you want to think about. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Ms. Blake, if you're able to come back in, we want to ask a question at any point in time. You're welcome to just chime back in. You know, going back to Harold and India, my thoughts on them, and I agree with what Rose said and what Ms. Blake alluded to as well, that, you know, when you've dated for 4 years and now, I mean, they have a fresh marriage even at their age, I just, you know, you think that by that time they can say, well, you know what, let's look at this thing. Let's look at some options here. You know, what about every, you know, the communication, the options of every 3 months, you know, do whatever or anything. But as long as it's out there, you know, in that age group, it needs to be something that you think about, something that you're thinking about. So that's what you might want to be considerate of. But let me tell you something, just like what Rose said, and I have to agree with you, none of us have a crystal ball. If you are thinking about marriage, you know, this is something you need to be, you know, you need to be concerned about. When you have children with someone, you know, marriage, you're expected to be in it for the long haul. And just like Rose said, you know, people are running to the divorce court for the slightest reason. So, you know, people are just not sticking to it. They want something different. So I'm telling you, it's disturbing. So these are the things that people are not thinking about that they need to, in fact, be thinking about. We're going to open up now and go to the comment section. Some people have sent in comments about tonight's topic. You're listening to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. The topic for tonight is the impact of divorce on the original biological family. And we've had some very interesting points of view, and we certainly appreciate those points of view. And you can listen to this show in its entirety at the end, about 20 minutes after the broadcast, to catch the whole component of the show. We're talking about Harold and India, a couple that they dated 4 years, and now they're having some challenges because they're both in their early 50s, and they're dealing with, India loves to be with her grandchildren. Harold is not into doing the grandparenting thing, and this is bringing some challenges for the both of them. You know, it's that whole family dynamic thing where they once got used to the ex-partner, and for the nephews, nieces, cousins, and even the grandchildren, it gets to be a little confusing because nobody really explained these things to them. You know, so that becomes a problem. So that's what we want to be able to look at and think about. All right, we're going to take some of the comments that are coming in. At any point in time, if you want to give your opinion on the impact of divorce, if you think there's an impact on divorce from the original biological family, or if you don't think that there's an impact, again, we have varying points of view. It doesn't have to be hard. If it's tension in the home, and I still say, you know, don't stay together for children, because those children grow up, and by the time they get 13, 14, they're in their own world anyway. They are still in your house, are still in your home, but you can be assured, they're in their own world. So you don't have to worry about that. Let's take some of the comments. The impact of divorce on the original biological family. This male writes in, he says, at the time of being upset with my wife of 11 years, I thought I wanted a divorce from my wife because we argued often. I finally decided to file for divorce, and to my surprise, It happened within 3 months after I filed. It's been 2 months since the divorce now, and I feel horrible, like I made a terrible mistake. We have 3 children together, and I miss the family dynamic, and I realize how much I love my wife, although I confess to cheating on her. Now the other woman has returned to her ex-boyfriend. I want my wife and family back, but she doesn't want me back. Any advice? Wow, well, let me go to Rose real quick and see if Rose has any advice for him, and then we'll certainly, I want to give my opinion. So once Rose gives her opinion, I mean, here's a guy that cheated on his wife. He thought he wanted a divorce. It happened within 3 months after he filed. And now he realized, he says, and I'm quoting him, he made a horrible mistake. He wants his, you know, and the woman that he was with went back to her ex-boyfriend. Wow, when you're out there cheating, it seems like it's a lot of fun. But then when you're free to do whatever you want to do with the other person, it's not so exciting anymore. Rose, is there any advice that you can give him?
Oh, that's a difficult one, Dr. Walter. You know, I've heard someone said many years ago, I've heard older lady said she was speaking to one of her friends of her age group, and she said, never marry someone you cheat with, because you will never be able to trust them, and they will never be able to trust you. Now, this person cheated with someone and left his wife, apparently, or divorced his wife for this person, and this person happened to go back to her ex. What did he expect? He could not have expected loyalty from this lady. And he couldn't expect to trust her because she cheated with him while he was married. So, you know, it's kind of hard, but I'm sorry to say that he kind of deserved it because he cheated and left his wife, you know, to go to someone else. So this is the consequence that he's going to have to suffer. Should his wife take him back? You know, that's kind of hard. They would have to... Number one, I think he needs to suffer the consequences for a while first, you know, so he can realize that what he actually did was wrong. Who's to say he won't go back to his wife and then find someone else and cheat with again and leave her again? You know, it's kind of hard. At the same time, he could have learned his lesson and he could have decided to dedicate himself to his wife and family now and do something that he wouldn't do again. You know, I'm not going to say once a cheater, always a cheater, because it could be that he kind of learned his lesson and he made a horrible mistake and learned from it. So, you know, I would say to him, learn from your mistake. You need to find out who you are. Don't just run back into your marriage or with your ex-wife. You need some time alone to really process who you are, because obviously you don't really know what you want as yet. You need to actually find out exactly what you want and don't just make emotional decisions. I mean, now that your current girlfriend who you cheated with went back to her ex, you think maybe, well, you should go back to your ex. You kind of need to wait a while, because you don't want to go back to your ex and then realize, you know what, I really don't love her. And then you're either stuck and become unhappy, or you go back to cheating. So I think you need to take some time, 6 months to a year maybe, and really find out what is it that you really want. Do you really want your ex? You know, maybe you could communicate with her, become friendly with her, but don't get involved with her again. And who knows, maybe she might not want to take the risk again of going back into a marriage that she came out of because you cheated. You need to give her some time also and see if that can be worked out. But first of all, work on you. Make sure that cheating is out of your system. Make sure that you're really ready to settle down with your family and dedicate yourself to your family. Find out what it is that you want out of life, what will make you happy before you make that decision.
Okay, very interesting, folks. Very interesting. We're going to go to the phone line at 305-733 and get this point of view, and then I'm going to come back with my point of view.
Dr. Walker?
Oh, Ms. Blake, go ahead.
Yeah, I do want to insert really quickly.
Okay.
You know, a lot of things that our caller said was really good. But, you know, I'm a little different from my life coaching perspective. I just want to say to that gentleman who's out there, number one, do not beat up on yourself. I always tell people that because sometimes we're too hard on ourselves. We'll make mistakes. We all do. None of us are perfect. And, you know, hopefully if his ex-wife does not want him back, he's going to have to move on. You can't force something. But we all learn lessons from our decisions. But the main thing I'm just encouraging him today is do not beat up on yourself.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Ms. Blake, and at any point in time that you can chime in, just feel free to come right on in. Let's go to the phone line.
Thank you.
305-733-11 North from the National Law. We're coming. 305-733 is the call of the air. 305-733? Okay, maybe they're just tuning in. All right. Let me give, Rose, you said a mouthful, actually, in fact. You know, and Ms. Blake came in to say don't beat up on yourself, and I certainly agree with that. No one should really beat up on themselves a lot, but I do think that you should take some punishment and recognize that the mistakes that you've made. And I think that that's what this gentleman has done. He says he's made a horrible mistake. You know, I differ a little bit. I think that if you have gone out, you violated the marriage, and you find now that the grass wasn't as green on the other side, and your wife doesn't want you back, and if she were the one writing in, I'd say don't take him back. Don't. And I know that Rose sounds like, over the air, sounds like a very kind person, and many of our callers do oftentimes. And don't think that I'm not a compassionate person, but I just think that we suffer the consequences. When we violate these things, we suffer the consequences that go along with that. Because somewhere along the way, someone was suffering while you were out there. And I'm not trying to beat up on them again. The children were suffering at the time. The wife was being neglected. And if it's vice versa, if the woman is out there, you know, the husband's being neglected, the children are being neglected, or even if there are no children involved, somebody's being neglected. And then there's a risk of sexually transmitted disease that you're bringing to your significant other. So I'd say, you know, you're asking for advice. I'd say, you know, learn from the mistake. As been presented tonight with Rose and Ms. Blake has presented that. Learn from the mistake. The wife doesn't want you back. Then, you know what? Talk it up. Try to establish a relationship with the ex-wife now, if you can, for the benefit of the children. Only from that perspective, as best you can, but not with the intentions of infringing on her life that she will ultimately go on to have. And learn from there. And then perhaps in your next relationship, know that you will want to be fully committed in that relationship. And my prayer is that your partner that you ultimately pick will be faithful to you. That's my thought, because sometimes it's hard. All right, this female writes in. Let's see if we've got, let's see if the 305 caller, 305-733, are you trying to get in? Okay, maybe not. I think they're just listening in. All right, let me go here and take another comment they're telling me from our callers. And I will speak to this one unless someone wants to come in. This young lady writes in. She says, I had an opportunity when it comes to the impact of divorce on the original biological family. I had an opportunity to see what my parents went through after divorce. It was really horrible because they were always fighting. About 3 months after the divorce, I saw that my father was constantly trying to get my mother back, but she did not want the same thing. Their horrible divorce has really affected the relationship that my brother and I have with our significant others that we are obviously unaware of until it's pointed out to us. It's been 10 years since the divorce, and we still can't seem to get things right. My brother and I are both in our late 20s. Is this unusual to still have difficulty coping with your parents' divorce after over 10 years? The short answer to this is no. It's not unusual. There are a number of kids even in their 30s and 40s, whose parents may still be alive, the biological parents, and they're still hoping that their parents can still somehow or another, the magic can come back and those parents can reunite. If it hasn't happened in all those years, you know, it's unlikely that it's going to happen. Just as this female writes in and she's saying, she saw what they went through, and it's had an obvious effect on her and her brother. Well, you know, things happen like that. They really do, and that's an unfortunate situation. But to answer your question, it is not an unusual situation. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Wark Show. Tonight's topic, the impact of divorce on the original biologic family. If you feel that there is no impact on the original biologic family, then, you know, share that with us. If you think that there is an impact, then we'd like to hear that as well. You can certainly press one and we'll be able to take you in. Let's go now and take another comment from the studio. This comment comes in from a male. He writes in, well, female actually. She writes in, she says, now that I'm divorced, my ex-husband insists on trying to come around more often, stating that he wants to spend more time with our three children. What he is really doing is trying to keep up with me to see who I am dating after 11 months of our divorce. He recently saw another man at the house and became furious and can't seem to handle it. He should have thought about this before he filed for divorce. Do you think I'm wrong to go on with my life? Absolutely not. If he filed for divorce, or it doesn't matter if you filed for divorce, if there were extenuating circumstances, or if there were circumstances that brought you all to this point, then certainly, you know, you couldn't see in terms of being together, and whatever it was led him to file for divorce. And yeah, I agree with you. He should have thought about that before he filed for divorce. And see, this is one of the things that people don't think about, that their significant other ultimately is going to move on with their life. And it doesn't mean that there's a guarantee that that person is now ready for marriage again, somebody new that they're meeting. They're basically dating. You know, nobody really, you know, our species of being human, we're part of the animal kingdom, and nobody wants to be alone. Nobody wants to be alone. So they want the companionship, and that's what's expected in these relationships. All right, let's go on with see if we can go with another caller. We've got about 12 minutes before we start to bring the show to a close, and we're going to go ahead and take another comment that have come in to the studio. And let's see what we've got here. I'm trying to read this one. This male writes in. He says, I'm in a messed up situation similar to tonight's story. I am now in my late 40s, and my new husband is not into grandparenting like I know that my ex-husband would have been. Life is really strange because you wonder if you will ever get anything that you really want out of or in life. I enjoy my grandchildren, and he does not care to do the grandparenting thing. We have tried to compromise, but it doesn't seem likely. Perhaps your guests may have some answers. Well, you know, we've been talking about this tonight, and that we are finding that that is a challenge. So if you all can maybe get a neutral party to get involved, a neutral party to come involved and give you all some counseling, that might help to offset the situation in some way, form, or fashion. Other than that, I can't really say. I mean, that's just one of those things. But certainly, I would not let grandchildren stand in the way of hurting, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't let them stand in the way of hurting my relationship with my marriage. I mean, because children grow up and they go in a different direction. And, you know, the love can always be there. So it's important that you know, don't let your, you know, when it comes to the matrimony or the sacredness of marriage, it becomes vitally important that you realize that God's word should stand first and foremost. That when he says what he has joined together, and I think that this is like a surmise of what people need to know, a synopsis of what people need to know. What God has joined together, let no man set asunder. And when he put a spouse, a husband and a wife together, if that's of God, then you know what? Children are not even supposed to come in between that. That's sacred. That's God. Because God knew that children would grow up and they would make their choices and they would gravitate to their companions. God knew that. And so if God has it where the children are not to infringe or cause a violation of the marriage, then certain grandchildren, nieces, nephews, siblings, parents, no one. That is so sacred. That I think, and this is just my opinion, that is one of the most sacred things that God has ordained, and that is marriage. It is holy and it is acceptable unto God when God chose that marriage. And anyone, this is just my humble opinion, even as a licensed ordained minister, I say, when you allow someone to infringe on the sacredness of that, you are infringing on something that is so sacred to God, you're going to pay the consequences of it. And whether if you let children, you let parents, you let siblings, you let nieces, nephews, grandchildren, anybody that you let cause your marriage to go awry, then you're going to suffer those consequences, and the individuals that infringe on that are of age and recognizing that they're doing that is going to have an impact on their marriage, and they may not even be aware. So you got to be very careful when it comes to marriage, because marriage is very sacred. Marriage is holy. Marriage is acceptable unto God when it's a marriage that God put together. All right, let's take this other comment that has come in to the studio, and this will be the final one that we were able to get to. This individual sends in a comment. This young lady sends in her comment. She says, in reference to tonight's broadcast, the impact of divorce on the original biological family. The female says, I wish I had thought about the impact of divorce from my kid's father long before I filed. I realize now after 11 years that what I thought would make life better for all of us turned out to be a rather horrible aftermath. I am now a stepmother with three of my current husband's kids, and things just really don't go well with any of this. In fact, it puts a strain on our marriage now. As I look back, I am certain that it would have been better to weather the storm with my children's biological father, because now I have to deal with daddy and mama drama and also other children drama. She says, help. Well, you know, none of us have that hindsight. If we did, then all of us, perhaps, after you reach a certain age, would have made different decisions. And that's, chances are, that's how it works. If you had hindsight, somewhere along the way, you would have made a difference. If you could see down the road that, you know what, if I had only known that I was going to, you know, divorce after so many years, and then, like in her case, she's saying 11 years later, she's looking back. Her current husband, you know, he's got three kids, and she's having to deal with them, and she's got her own kids, and it's not even working out for them. And so it's putting a strain. See, here again, children infringing can bring a strain to your relationship. They can even bring, you know, if there can be a strain with children from both biological parents in the home. Just the fact of having children and you're not balanced, there's no balance in the home. If there's chaos in the home, there's going to be confusion and chaos in those children's lives. just like it isn't at home. So just imagine now when you move into a step situation, you know, where you got two parents now and these are not the biological parents, you know, that bloodline is not there from both parties. There can be, and children are trying to grow up in the home where, you know, these are his kids, these are her kids. You know, and it's like they're of a certain age and they didn't grow together, bound to be some conflict. There's some therapy that's required for the family dynamics if they're still young enough so that they can become a blended family. I mean, there are so many other issues that you got to take into consideration. You've got male and female species, and if they're of age and the boy is not the biological sibling, you know, if the boy is not the biological sibling, then let me tell you got to wonder if he's going to, get caught up into molesting your child, you know, the other child here. And, I mean, it even incest takes place in some biological families. But then just imagine the prospect or the possibility of this happening, you know, in a situation where they're not even blood. You know, so there's a bunch of issues that go on. And people don't think about these things. When you start to mix and match and blend, you just don't think about it. You know, so it can become a problem. You know, you got an 11-year-old male, you got a 9-year-old female, and they're not bloodline. And, you know, they're old enough, and they start their hormones in middle school age, start to get imbalanced, and they may fight and this and that. And then somewhere along the way, he said, that's not my real sister. You know, so you got all sorts of issues people need to be thinking about that, in fact, they don't think about. And that becomes a challenge as well. So when we're talking about the impact of divorce on the original biological family, these are the things that we're talking about, you know, is that relationship dynamics of the new families now. And even in the case where there's no children in the home, you know, where, you know, you've got the children trying to check in with their parents, and if they were accustomed to doing this on a routine basis, it can become a distraction in that new relationship. So all of these things are taken into consideration. I mean, whereas if it was both of your biological parents together, hey, to call them 10, 11 o'clock at night might not be anything, you know, unless, you know, and then culture may play a role in it, because you got some families like, girl, don't call me, you know, you're calling me 10, 11 o'clock at night, I might be busy, you know, or resting. And it makes me jump and think that there's something wrong. And in some situations, people just, you know, they just do that. 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night is not a problem, you know, with their biological family. You know, mom, I need to talk to you. Dad, I need to talk to you. But then when it's not, those are other dynamics that people don't, in fact, think about. But even with that, I still say that children are not a reason. Because, you know what, if you go back to the Bible, if you train them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart. If you train them the right way, they will be able to take care of situations and give you respect to your life, even if you are the biological parents that are still together. The children will say, you know what, mom and dad have paid their dues. Let me give them their time. They would, as a matter of fact, they would promote wanting you to have your time. That's what they would do. They would want to promote to make sure that my parents have their time together. Or even if that new parent has a new partner, you know, it doesn't mean that they've been abandoned, but it just means, you know what, it's mom's time, it's dad's time. They need to enjoy their companion. You know, I know they love me. They know I love them. And we can still have our communication times. But I want them to be all about them, because their lives ahead are perhaps shorter than their lives behind. And they need to respect that time that those parents want to spend that quality time together. All right, we appreciate all of you all that were with us tonight. And those of you all that weren't able to get in, we do apologize for that. We want to thank all of you all. I'm going to ask you to stand by now as I go into my food. So we're going to just ask you to stand by, and we thank Ms. Blake, we thank Rose for being on the show tonight, and all others that stood by. We appreciate your patience and being with us. Now, once again, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are expressed from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's program are merely those of my own and those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Now, tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. The information presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Now, when it comes to tonight's topic, the impact of divorce on the original biological family, I would like to begin by saying that in life, there are absolutely no guarantees when it comes to human nature and dealing with relationships. With that said, in my humble opinion, there is no certainty that things will work out even if you stay with the biological spouse of your children. The thoughts presented in the previous story with Harold and India, coupled with the comments and opinions shared on tonight's broadcast, there is no crystal ball to lead us in life as to what will and will not work. Yes, I believe it is true that we have the Bible as a guide. Yet, as we deal with human nature, we still find ourselves going contrary to the Word of God and wonder why we got ourselves in such a mess in the first place. It seems ideal for every marriage to last and honor their vows till death do us part, and not with the intentions of killing each other along the way. Yet, in reality, how many people can really live happily during periods of time when you don't even really like each other? Have you looked at the statistics on marriage and divorce lately? Perhaps not. In case you have not looked at the statistics lately, I would strongly encourage you to take a serious look into the statistics before you get married, and definitely before you divorce, unless in the case of divorce, there are extenuating circumstances like mental or physical abuse. Times have seriously changed in the sense of the way they once were. Or the question becomes, have they really changed? Or could it be that we just don't know how things really were back in the days of our grandparents? In any event, if you are not married, you had better give grave thought to the person whom you are dating and ensure with every possible intrinsic being within you that this is the person whom you would welcome the opportunity to have children with and have intentions of spending the rest of your life with. If you are married, and you are having constant problems year after year with basically the same problem, then you may want to look at whether you are wasting your time in a dead-end marriage. But also here, I recommend that you give grave consideration before you divorce unless you're being mentally or physically abused, because God will hold you accountable. Both parties. I trust that the educational information coupled with tonight's broadcast have been beneficial to you as much as it has been to me. And please join us again live Friday for your half-hour inspiration program. If not, from you here once again next Tuesday, when our topic will be, are you in control of your emotions, or are your emotions in control of you? Once again, join us Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. And, of course, if you can't join us this Friday, join us next Tuesday for the topic, are you in control of your emotions, or are your emotions in control of you? Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.